Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, 8:05 Central Time. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Arthur Boone, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Pastor Boone.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us this morning. Tell us about St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania.
St. Mark's is the church that's been around for many decades. It's a small church right now. It's in a kind of a suburb of Philadelphia, south of Philadelphia, near the airport. A lot of older members. Many of the pillars have passed away in the last couple of years. We're trying to reach out to. We're reaching out to the community. We have a preschool with about 40 children, 3 to 5 years old. And we're Bible studies, a lot of Bible studies, and people hungry for the Word, good leadership, and we're here to serve whoever wants to join in.
For those not familiar with Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, give us an idea of where we would find Ridley Park.
Okay, it's south of Philadelphia, just off of I-95. Take the 420 exit and go up to the next major intersection, turn left, and it's a block and a half up the road. It's about 10 minutes from the airport, the international airport. So it's easy to find.
Well, very good. Glad that you are there delivering God's good gifts, that the folks at St. Mark's can gather around, gather together and hear and receive God's good gifts in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. We are studying Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 23 today. Anything you'd like us to know about this this text before we jump in?
This is a text that's caused a lot of a variety of interpretations, especially among evangelicals. The important thing is to keep it in its historical context and then understand what that's about. And then we can apply it to our situation today and to the coming promises of Christ's return.
Very good. Well, let's take a look at Mark chapter 13. Listeners, if you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo at kfuo.org. We're taking a look at Mark chapter 13 today, verses 1 through 23. Let's begin at verse 1. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." So the one of the disciples cheerfully says, "Oh, what wonderful stones, what wonderful buildings." And Jesus says, "You see these great buildings? Not one stone is going to be left upon another. They'll all be thrown down." Pastor, your thoughts here?
Well, you know, this is the last time that I believe that Jesus leaves the temple before he's crucified, and he's spoken already, given hints about the temple and rising and lifting it up in 3 days, and speaking of his resurrection, of course. As we go along, We'll see that the historical context has to do, first of all, with the destruction of the temple in AD 70 by the Romans. And I think the disciples are just marveled at Jerusalem in general and the temple and how majestic everything is. And Jesus, in his wisdom, takes advantage of those comments to instruct them on future coming things in the future.
All right, very good. Let's go on to verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains." All right, so here, seated at the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? When is this all going to happen, Jesus? How will we know that this is going to happen?"
It's interesting that they did not ask, how are these things going to happen, but when? That's curious.
They want to know when these things are going to happen, and they want to know
the signs that are going to.
Yeah. How will we know when this is happening? And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet." So people,
there have been many, many false prophets, many since then, saying that they're the prophets of God, and even the Christ returned, and he's warning us. We will know. There will be no question when he returns.
"And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet." We're going to hear about wars. Just in my lifetime alone, there have always been wars and rumors of wars. But throughout, it seems like throughout much of human history, there have been wars and rumors of wars.
And even now, people are anxious about what's going on in the Middle East and the threats to our nation and to other peaceful nations by radical Islamism, and those things are going to happen. We can't avoid these kinds of things. They're part of the story of this sinful world, and we have heard many rumors in these last years. And a lot of people are anxious about that. But as Christians, we can be at peace, knowing that God's got this under control. If he wants to use evil nations to chastise his people because we have not been as faithful as we should, he can do that. But we have the promise that he will spare his people, and the victory is going to be his and his kingdom.
This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. But these are the beginning of the birth pains. So as you said, these things must happen. These things will happen. God can use these things, as you said, to chastise. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. Now, there are times that you might see, perhaps on TV or other places. I remember back in the 90s, this was really big, when something would happen, an earthquake or some other political event would happen, people would say, "Oh, look, see, here are the end times. The end times are happening. These are the end times," or the prophecy is being fulfilled. Well, prophecy is always being has always been fulfilled. When God sends a prophet, his prophecies are always fulfilled. But here Jesus says, these are but the beginning of the birth pains.
Yeah, we would like to know when the end will come, but we won't. We don't. Only God knows that. And so the church and even not just the Christian church, but other religious groups have been always trying to interpret these natural phenomena, earthquakes and tornadoes and volcanoes, as as somehow indications of the end is near. Well, we're drawing nearer and nearer every day. But the thing is, the historical context of this, of course, is the destruction of the temple in 70, and Jerusalem also. It was a tough time. It was brutal for the church and for the Jews too back then to watch and to see their holy city and their holy temple destroyed by the Roman armies. And Jesus is preparing them for that also.
Anything up through verse 8 before we go on to verse 9, Pastor?
Let's continue.
Okay, verse 9. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Be on your guard, he says. They will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them.
Yeah, the early Christians, the apostles, what, all but one maybe were martyred, in some way. According to tradition, and he's warning them, but he also says, what I think is significant here: you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. He's saying, hey, this is going to happen to you. It's not going to be pleasant, but it's going to be an opportunity for you to give witness to the governing authorities about me, and we need to do that today. Whatever situation we're in, whether it be good or bad, we can use it as an opportunity to bear witness to Christ. And they also have the promise, the comfort that the Holy Spirit's going to give them the words to speak. Whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak. Don't be anxious beforehand what you are to say, because it will be given you by the Holy Spirit what to speak. We need to keep that in mind. And that's the advantage of studying the Scriptures, of participating in worship, of receiving the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, because that way the Lord is nourishing us, teaching us, fixing in our memories those great promises and the law and gospel of Christ Jesus, of God's word, and that will prepare us, and the Holy Spirit will give us the words to speak whenever we need to be giving a witness to the truth about Christ, even in dire times, in dire situations.
Yeah, verse 10, and the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And how does that happen? How is the gospel proclaimed to all nations? We see in Romans that, how can they hear unless someone is sent, right?
Right.
Someone must be sent to proclaim that gospel.
And that brings us back to the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. Make disciples by baptizing, and by those two participles there, which I believe are instrumental participles, baptizing and teaching. That's how we make disciples. We baptize as early as possible, and then we teach, and then the Holy Spirit prepares his church to give witness to the nations. And we sinners certainly can't build the church. It's Christ who builds his church through those means of grace. And that's why it's so important for us to be proclaiming clearly the Scriptures, law and gospel of God, according, let the scriptures interpret themselves, not add to it, not invent theologies and prophecies, stick to the word, baptize and teach our people so that they can be prepared for whatever situation, whatever opportunity, to bear witness to Christ and to spread that good news that there is forgiveness of sins because of what Christ has done for us.
And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. So, brother will deliver brother over to death. Families will rise against one another. Divided, yes, divided.
Yeah, we see that now. We see Christian young people converting to non-Christian religions, to Islam and to Hinduism, and then turning on their own family members. That's happening. I believe it's going to happen more in the near future. And it certainly happened back then, because persecution is not easy to endure. When you got someone threatening your life, threatening you with death, like now in the Middle East, you convert or die. That's the struggle, and that's why we need to build up our faith, to nourish our faith daily, gather with our congregation regularly. Feed upon God's word and the sacraments so that we can endure those temptations, even confronting death itself. And those Christians at that time, I think it's important that we understand that those weeks and months before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and they were not easy for the Christians and the Jews, the faithful Jews. They were all persecuted. Rome did not like Judaism or Christianity, and the faithful had to endure a brutal persecution, threats on their life, and families were divided because some held fast to the faith, to the cross of Christ, and others didn't.
The one who endures to the end will be saved.
Yes. That's the key. And we can only endure to the end, not on our own power, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, nourishing us, strengthening us, guiding us, enlightening us by his gifts through the word and the sacraments, which we hear and feed upon on a regular basis.
Amen. We're studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Arthur Boone from St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in Mark chapter 13. If you have a question or comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Stick around for more study of God's Word right here on Worldwide. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
There is a long and noble tradition in the Christian church that is somewhat counterintuitive. It says that confession can be put to music and sung. We'll explore that tradition on the next Sing for Joy. Join us.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying Mark chapter 13 today, verses 1 through 23, with Pastor Arthur Boone from St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. And Pastor, anything else up through verse 13 before we go on to the next section?
Not unless someone has a question.
All right, no questions yet. But listener lines are open. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email kfuo at kfuo.org. Let's take a look at the next section. Let's look at verses 14 through the end here, through verse 23. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing there, he ought not to be. Let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down nor enter his house to take anything out, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not happen in the winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning, that the creation of God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, and he shortened the days. And then, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. All right. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down nor enter his house or take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back and take his cloak. When you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be. The Abomination of Desolation sounds like a 90s punk band, but I'm guessing it's not that. What is the Abomination of Desolation?
Well, there's one reference to that in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 9. Let me read that. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Now, this is historically, this is, here's a comment from Luther, the notes in the Lutheran Study Bible. The Romans under Emperor Caius Caligula placed an idol in the temple as a sign that the temple and Judaism were to be at an end. This is in the Old Testament, in times of Daniel. We are the church. Judaism was persecuted, or not well, the Israelites and their religion, their monotheism, and. Of course, you know, Caligula was brutal, and so that's the historical reference. But now Jesus is warning them that something similar is going to happen. That the secular, the Roman government, the Roman army is going to again attack monotheism. And Christianity, and we need to be prepared for that. He was saying to his disciples.
And so let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that it may not happen in winter. For those in those days, there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. This is just going to be, well, just horrible times.
Yeah, and Jesus is being real practical. He's being practical. He's getting down to the nitty-gritty. That one who is on the housetop not go down nor enter his house to take anything out. You know, you might not, you won't have time to prepare for this unless you prepare ahead of time. You know, there's not going to be, the Roman armies are not going to warn you beforehand, okay, we're on our way. They're just going to turn and start destroying him. And so he's trying to keep them very, very practical-minded, preparing them for those difficult times. And we have to get our priorities in order. You know, the priority is not your material belongings and for pregnant and nursing women, those with infants. It's going to be even more. It was going to be even more difficult. But Jesus here is just speaking in practical terms, giving them some instructions, preparing them for the difficult times that were on their way.
For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. If the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those who he chose, he shortened the days.
He did. Yeah, that historical event, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, happened quickly. It wasn't a drawn-out battle over months and months. The persecution was several years, but that violent physical destruction was quick. And if it had been drawn out, there would have been more suffering for the faithful. But God is always concerned about his church and our well-being and keeping us in his grace and in his care.
And then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard, I have told you all things beforehand. So there are going to be false Christs, false prophets. People are going to say, oh, look, this is a prophet, or this is the Christ here. He says, do not believe it.
Yeah, I would recommend an interesting book. I think it's by Paul Byer, More Than a Skeleton. It's a novel, it's fiction, but it could very, it's based on that very thing, false prophet. False prophet comes along claiming to be Christ, have these powers, and he's just an incredible man, and he leads many astray. Much of Christendom, well, ends up thinking that he is Christ returned, huh? But then it's all revealed in the end, of course, that it was a sham. But those things could happen, and there have been men in these last decades that have claimed to be Christ. Or special prophets with direct line to God, and dreams. How many times have we heard famous televangelists say, "Well, last night I had a dream. God told me in a dream that this is going to happen. That's going to happen. You better send me some more money." These kinds of claims are going to be out there, and we need to when Christ returns. There will be no question. Everybody's going to know. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. that Christ is Lord. And so it's going to be a universal event, and there will be no doubt. If in these days, if an individual comes along and says that he is the Christ or that he is some special direct line with God and it speaks with God directly, doesn't need the Holy Scriptures, then we gotta be careful. Don't believe him. He is a false prophet.
Be on your guard. I've told you all things beforehand. Yeah. Here we have God's word. The warning. Be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand.
Yeah, this is not fiction.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a fairy tale. This is true stuff. And God's word always comes to pass. His prophecies have come to pass, and they continue to come to pass. And false prophets, persecution is real. Well, we've seen it. We've seen it around the world, just even increase in the last few decades. Christianity is being persecuted. Christianity is being, hit hard by its enemies, and it's a shame that even some of our leaders in our own country are turning against Christianity, and so we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard to be able to distinguish truth from falsehood, and to be able to defend our faith, defend our faith in Christ Jesus, to be able to proclaim clearly the message of forgiveness and salvation that we have because of Christ, because of what he has done for us. And that takes a continual nourishment, spiritual nourishment. Again, we can't do this on our own. Be on guard means let the Holy Spirit work through his word and sacraments to prepare us for these coming things.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text today?
I would say, don't be anxious, but be prepared. Be on guard. Christ has told us all we need to know. I have told you all these things beforehand. Be on guard. Don't let your guard down. Keep that whole armor of God over your body. And in our baptism, remember that in our baptism, we are clothed with Christ. And that's why we use the sign of the cross. That's why we do everything in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to remind us that in our baptism, we have been armored with Christ Jesus himself, the Almighty, everlasting Savior of the world. And with him, we can't fail.
Amen. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Boone from St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Pastor Boone, thanks so much for being our guest pastor, helping us study this text in Mark chapter 13.
It's been a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time, including some sacred music to help start your morning right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.